Welcome to the Beyond the Leash podcast, your number one source for everything canine. Eric Stremans has you covered on the latest training tips, techniques, and more. No more clicker training bullshit, constantly bribing with treats. Just balanced dog training that works. Now, here's your host, Eric Stremans.
Well, hello. Welcome to another Tuesday here on the Beyond the Leash podcast. Having trouble with the buttons here. My name is Eric Stremans, owner of Beyond the Leash Canine Training. Welcome to another Tuesday. I am here once again with Jesse Daniels.
Hi.
We're actually doing two in a row here. This is good.
Yes.
I used to do that all the time with the ex. We'd come in here, especially on a weekend, like
where's
long
my
weekend.
Drinks and food? I mean, it sounds so fun.
We could have ordered food if you want.
I was more interested in the drinks.
You know, I might do that after this. I might go to Wimpy's Diner with my new service dog.
Oh, yes. Fuck you.
It's still going to feel weird, even though it's legal now.
Yeah. No, you'll get over it real quick when you see like, they just love it.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, they all know I'm a dog trainer there. Mm-hmm. But now I have a certified service dog.
No, just ask to pet Nico and that's it.
Well, they're not allowed to pet.
Yeah.
Not supposed to let a dog person pet a service dog when they're working.
Yeah, I know.
The vest actually came with a removable Velcro. It says, I'm working, please don't pet me.
Yes.
What else is going on? We're doing two in a row because we're waiting for who sponsors this podcast?
Big Country Raw.
This podcast is brought to you by the good people at Big Country Raw. Feed your dog what Eric and Jesse feed their dogs, Nico and Maya.
Yeah.
Big Country Raw. What'd you get on your order today?
I got XL Bistro.
Basically, just to let you know, I had ulterior motives. We went to the dog park earlier, and I said, hey, you want to go do some podcasts? Because I got to sit here and wait for the order anyway.
Hey, you left that part out.
I don't really have to, because they usually text me when they're like a half hour away.
Yeah.
And I only live 4 minutes away. And even when I was at the gym, my new gym's Hall Highway, so it's only I can just get here. No matter where I am, I'm not usually more than 15 minutes away. So, but sometimes the text doesn't come or the guy's here quick or whatever and he's calling me, which is still okay, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So Big Country Raw is our sponsor. We love Big Country Raw. Mm-hmm. What'd you order?
XL Bistro, and I got some goat milk.
Nico's not crazy about the goat. It's not even that he's not crazy about the goat milk. I've given it to him. He likes the goat milk, but he doesn't usually eat his food right away. I think I've told you before. I think he likes to wait for it to get room temperature.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes.
And if I put the goat milk on there, it kind of makes it like a mushy cereal that's been in milk too long.
Yeah, I make her a porridge. It's disgusting. She loves it.
Do you ever give her the quail eggs?
No, I haven't, but I want to.
I'm going to send you home with a thing of quail eggs. Yeah. See if you like them. I got a bunch in there. I got a bunch. And I just throw them in frozen. Some people defrost them and, like, crack them like an egg.
Mm-hmm, but they can eat the whole thing, right?
Oh, he loves it. He eats the frozen, he eats the shell, he eats everything. It's all good for him.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a couple of those. Let's see if she likes that. I always throw one or two on top of his meal. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Big Country Raw's website, bigcountryraw.ca /BTL for Beyond the Leash, obviously, what do you get?
15% off.
You'll get a 15% off voucher, coupon, code, something. Mm-hmm. Some kind of code. I don't know. I've never used it. Have you used it?
Yes, I have.
How's it come then? I don't even know.
Well, it just comes 15% off your first order. So whatever.
But did you get a code? I think there's a code.
I don't even remember.
Like when you punch in any website and buy something and you get a discount code from some kind of social media guy, punch in this code and it just knocks the 10 or 15% off or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm asking you because you used it. I've never used it. I don't know how it comes.
I'm pretty sure I just put it in and then it took the 15% off.
One girl told me she had a hard time with it at the store. I don't know.
I don't know
if that's, it's supposed to work at a store too. So whatever. We'll give it to you for sure. Mm-hmm. Buy it here at the dog shop.
Yep. Well, that's why I don't remember even, because I just buy it from here now. So I don't remember the online, but it wasn't bad.
All right. So what are we going to talk about today? You kind of came up with this idea, just spur of the moment. I said, hey, we got anything else to talk? Because I've never talked about this. In the 2.5 fucking years of doing podcasts, and a lot of them are about our training and what we do. I've never talked about dog training levels and how we run that as a thing and where we get to and why some people might only take the novice class and why some people want to move on.
Yeah.
First off, again, we've already done podcasts on different types of training, be it group lessons like we do here, be it private one-on-ones with a trainer, be it board and train where you drop your dog off for 6 weeks and you don't do any training at all, which is my least favorite. It's the most expensive and it's my least favorite.
I understand that completely.
Yeah, because I want to turn the people into the dog trainer. No? I just, Brandon here, BCR, will be there at about 1:15-ish. So we only have about 15, 20 minutes to do this podcast.
That's okay.
You know, we'll just let him in here and we'll run the podcast while you can go. All he's got to do is pile the stuff there. Our dog's in the other room playing with the, okay, we're good. So this podcast is brought to you by Big Country Raw. You're actually going to see when their delivery driver comes in and brings us our order. It'll be kind of interesting. I'll talk to him from here. I might bring him in. Hi, how do you enjoy working for Big Country Raw? Part of the podcast. So basically with us, and I run this a little different. I'm going to even talk about Dave McMahon School and how he differs from me a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with the way he does it. He just does it the way he do it, and I do it the way I do it. When I do it just like his first level, when you join a first class here, a lot of people call me and they actually ask questions. They say, is everybody going to be learning at the same, or am I joining a class with other people, other dogs have been there a while? No, our novice class is beginner class. That's like your, I don't care if it was an adoption dog at 5 years old or you got a brand new puppy. Every dog that comes to our school starts in level number one, which we call novice.
Rules are the same.
Yes. And all these trainers are going to have this. Some one in particular, I don't like this terminology. They call it kindergarten, grade one, grade two. That's very infantile. That's like you're dealing with kids. Mm-hmm. With us, it's novice, intermediate, and advanced. And that's what a lot of more serious dog trainers will call the classes. So in the first class, which is novice, it's all brand new dogs. And here's the, let's not go there yet. It's all brand new dogs that have usually never trained before. And they're all learning the same thing on each day. So first day is actually orientation without the dogs. First day with the dog is sit and release. And we teach every dog sit and release. And every dog goes home and learns sit and release for a week, yes?
Yep.
And here's what I tell everybody. Let's say your class was Sunday at 2:30. None of the dogs learn sit and release on that Sunday at 2:30 with their dog. We send them home with a process, a half-hour training session, and their dog's going to learn where?
At home.
On what days?
On the streets, every day.
But not week. The Sunday that you're here. You're going to learn on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you might not get that great on a Monday, but hopefully by Tuesday it's looking a little bit better. And then, oh my God, by Wednesday, Thursday, it looks a lot better. And then by Friday, Saturday, oh my God, the dog's got it. So that's where the process of the teaching is, and that's where I don't like board and train because I actually am not the trainer. I'm not the trainer. I never trained Maya a day in her life. You did all the training right from day one, yes?
Yeah.
So that's what I like about that better. Yeah. And even your private clients, you're training them, and then you're giving them the dog and say, hey, this is what we got to learn. You're not taking the dog, doing all the training, giving them back 10 weeks later. I just don't think that works very well. So you're learning in a group with 8 to 12 dogs usually, and every dog is here for 10 weeks. It is 9 full one-hour lessons plus a test to go to the next levels.
Yeah.
Here's, and he might have changed it. I don't know. I've been saying this forever, but he might have changed it since then. I don't know. So if Dave's listening to this and he hears I said this and I'm wrong, I'm just going by what I know from Dave 25 years ago. Back in the days, I know, now I push the fuck out of you. Maybe some classes actually go a little far than I should. Because sometimes I think it's better to get more solid training at a shorter distance with less duration. But I know Dave didn't. He might have changed now. He doesn't really let you drop leashes in the first 10 weeks. Well, I try and drop leashes as soon as possible. Maybe I'm doing it too fast for some dogs. But remember, there's 10 dogs in a class, so maybe six really, of them can.
Yeah.
Here's my intention there. I want some people to join the 10 weeks and that be all you ever need. I know some people aren't. We just had a podcast last week about the mentality of dogs, and some don't even think they should need training. I think some people should come to me and have a dog that's pulling them, that's annoying to walk, and that's maybe all they want to fix. They just want to have a dog they can enjoy and does a basic sit and a decent recall and doesn't pull on the leash anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm wiping my hands clean for those of you that can't see this.
Yeah.
That's all they ever wanted. They don't need the off-leash training.
Yeah.
They don't need a dog that will respond in a dog park from 80 yards away. Mm-hmm. They just need some very basic training to make their life with their dog more enjoyable to walk a dog on the streets.
Enjoyable.
Yes. And they don't need all the other stuff. So maybe some people should come in, take that 10-week course, and be happy with it. Never, ever, ever need to see me or you ever again. Let's go back to Dave. Again, if he's listening, if one of his clients is listening and I'm wrong, don't call me and say, hey, you're wrong. Dave doesn't do that. From what I remember in his old days, I know this is 25 years ago, he never, ever dropped leashes in the first level. He reserved any more advanced training for the next levels. And he would get it really, really solid at 6 feet, but you weren't dropping a leash. Where I'm dropping a leash, I'm getting you to leave the room. And again, mind you, some dogs might be ready for that. And maybe those dogs I shouldn't get to drop a leash, but I'm running a group class. So
you're showing them where they can get when they're ready, and you make it pretty clear to them, don't do that if you can't get it better. And then if you get to there, this is how you do that.
And I don't know if he still does this, but when I was there, he seemed to be upselling or encouraging people to join the next level, even in the novice level. Mm. He's always, especially if he saw a dog that had a lot of potential, he's going on that client, hey, you guys should think about the next level. Your dog's got a lot of potential for the next level. And he's kind of wanting them into the next level because maybe he does see potential in the owner and the dog. When's the only time I bring up the next level?
The ninth.
On the last lesson where you do the review. Because again, I don't want to harass. I think it's a little bit of an upsell, and I'm more, if people ask me, I go, you know what? I go into detail about that on the last week. Wait till the last week. Some of the people that are harassing me to talk about the next level, I'll bring it up. If I got time, if they're leaving and I don't have another class after that, sometimes I'll give them a little bit, but I really don't even want to talk about it. I go, you know what, just concentrate on this. On the last day, I'll go into it for detail about the next levels, and you can decide then.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I want. I would rather have a client that maybe that's all they ever wanted. They had a lab that was pulling them. It's 85 pounds. They can't walk. We fixed that in the lesson two. They got some pretty decent stays. They're not going to be able to leave for 10 minutes, but they can leave the room for a few minutes and come back. Mm-hmm. They can't do our dogs, whatever, the stuff we got. Maybe they got a pretty decent recall, but they can't do it from a football field away, but they would never really need that. Mm-hmm. They want a close distance recall that's pretty safe, and that's all they'll ever need.
Remember, even just a close distance in a backyard, I've been with a dog untrained. I'm chasing him, and then he goes behind the shed. I'm thinking he's trapped. He has a tunnel. He's used to this game of playing catch me. It's horrid. And I'm in a small backyard. Recall would have been nice.
I know people that call me that say, you know what? I don't need an off-leash recall in public because I'm never going to get to that point. And they know they're not going to get to that point where their dog's off-leash reliable in traffic in public. Yeah. Eric, I just need you to get him to come to me in the fucking house because he's in the backyard and I got to leave. I'm calling him and he's playing the game with me. Yes. He won't come in on purpose. Ugh. And some dogs know you call him in when you're about to leave and they don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're purposely going to play a game with you for you to get to your stay. So you don't need the perfect off-leash in public recalls, but you need short distance, 30 yards of a backyard. Yes. I need that to get solid. But those people that leave with that, and hopefully I'm going to make them very, very happy with coming here. They're going to be very, very happy with their decision and happy with their money spent. And I'll never, ever make any more money off that client directly. Mm-hmm. I'll never see that guy again. I've got clients that's still on my Facebook page. I got one client that came with three dogs, and they were great clients. I always wondered why they never went to another level. but they're still on my Facebook. They're still interactive on the community of the dog training. They still talk, comment on things, and they never ever went to another level. Indirectly, I never made a dime off them, directly from them.
Yeah.
But I've made tons of money from them mm-hmm. in the 10 years since their dog took my novice class. Why?
Everyone who sees them, oh, your dog's so well behaved, be on the leash.
But they're continuing to refer me.
Yes.
Whenever a dog leaves here, even if they don't want another level, I know that 6 months from now, they're going to run into somebody on the neighborhood that's jumping up. Actually,
all the time. Are
actually,
you kidding?
My ex, I don't like to bring her up too much. That's how she got to me. Her dog came out and her dog was jumping all over the neighbor and she's apologizing. And she had an American bulldog that was 110 pounds and she's apologizing up and down. It was a past client of mine that said, I got a guy for you. Mm-hmm. He's going to help all this shit. So sometimes the novice level, that's all a client's going to want. And I want to make them happy. So I also, unlike Dave, that may restrict them, because maybe he's right. Maybe it's going too far is going to be pushing the limits too much. But I want to push your limits so with the 10 weeks that you do take, you're going to get the absolute most out of it.
I love that.
Some people get addicted. And you're going to get a certain kind of person. You came in here. You were the top dog in the class, yes?
Yeah.
Like hands down. And usually most of the people that join the next level, they're usually the all-star team. The best two or three of the novice group wants to come to the next level because they're very serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go back to the novice level. In a novice level, you're here on the same day and time. If you picked a Monday night at 7, that's your group. That's the same dogs that you're beside. And I actually do that by design. A lot of we got to go to the same spot. Yeah, go to your same spot. Mm-hmm. Because it actually, with untrained dogs, it makes it easier that your German Shepherd was right beside the same Shih Tzu every week.
Yeah.
And on the other side of her, there was the same American Bulldog or whatever. It's the same faces. The dogs actually make it easier because they start to get used to, especially a nervous dog
mm-hmm.
or an aggressive dog, starts to get comfortable because it's the same dogs beside them, the same dogs in the, and it's the same owners. That actually makes novice training a lot easier.
I tell the people when I show them how to hold the leash to keep control of their dog, I said, but for this, while you're learning, before you know it, if they lay down, it's fine as long as you have it tight on the left.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, my dog's not going to lay down. So many people have said that to me. And then 8 minutes into the class, all the dogs have simmered down, all standing with their owners.
Yeah.
Laying down, sorry.
All right, I'm trying to do that. Why the hell is it doing that? Shit. Oh, I just hung up on the guy. My phone usually gives you options to say, can I call you back later as a text, you know, automatically?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that with
you
that phone call.
Declined on accident?
I don't know. I declined it by accident. Maybe they'll call back. Whatever. and in the novice class, even though I do push you, really you don't do anything off-leash except the stays. And some of the really good people are leaving the room. We're not healing off-leash yet. I tell you a basis how to quickly get to an off-leash recall, but we don't really do that in the first 10 weeks. The one thing we're doing off-leash a lot is the stays. We're leaving the room. We're walking around the room.
Yeah.
All the dogs are put on stays, and we do a walk of humans around all the dogs, which is kind of cool. But that's the novice training. Again, we're trying to get a loose leash walk where they don't feel the leash. We're trying to get a really solid a really solid down. Again, sit, stay, and down, stay. The sit for examination is really important in the recall we learned last. That's the last thing we learned.
Yep.
And although we don't get to an off-leash recall in the novice class, I show you how to, just when it's finished, I give you the rules of the numbers and how to start with a 6-foot leash, move to a 12-foot leash, move to a 50-foot leash, and how many do I want them to do before they go off-leash?
30 a day equal?
No. How many do I want you to do on 400. A leash? 400. And it's 400 successful ones on a leash before we even think about. So we're not quite, when the course is over, because usually when you learn recall, you got one more week of review and then another week before the test. You're not there yet, but I tell you how to get there. Mm-hmm. So we have other levels for people that want the more serious training, the off-leash reliability. And how I run this is a lot different than the novice class, where in a novice class, you come once a week. You're with the same 10, 12 dogs every week. You learn something new in chronological order. It's very important that the novice class is chronological. Well, we got to learn sit before we learn heel. I don't understand some trainers that teach heel on the first day. Mm-hmm. How can you teach heel? Because when it gets awry, when it gets crazy, we just stop and go into a sit, mm-hmm. which we learned last week. I don't know how you can teach a recall without teaching a proper sit stay first. Yeah. I don't know how you can teach down stay before you teach down. It's chronological order.
Yeah, everything you're doing makes complete sense.
Then you're going to come into my next levels, which work, and every dog trainer does this a little differently. I don't care if you're advanced or novice. So how it works is from novice, you go into intermediate, and then the next level is advanced. I run it completely different in a novice class because now you don't have a set schedule. Now you're going to join what's called, it's like a membership base. Mm-hmm. And we have classes, this particular school has classes on Tuesday nights at 7. And these are regular, but sometimes we alter them. Tuesday nights at 7, Wednesday nights at 7, Thursday nights at 7, Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 5:30. And this is a general thing, but they can alter. What do I mean by they can alter? Sometimes we do classes, well, not sometimes, a lot of times we do classes outdoors. Because now the dogs in the next level, they are getting better and they can do stuff safely. It's boring in here for some of these dogs. We go to downtown Oakville. We go to Port Credit. We go to Streetsville during a festival. We purposely go to places that's more real life training. So how it works is now... And I really want you to think about the gym analogy. I got a gym membership. I actually got two of them right now. Yeah. I belong to Powerhouse Fitness, which is owned by a friend of mine, but I also joined Pure Muscle and Fitness. They're both about the same distance. When I buy that membership, I went to the gym yesterday. I'm not going today. I don't have to call them and say, hey, it's Eric Straitman's. I belong to you. I'm not coming in today. They don't give a fuck. I'm going to go tomorrow. I don't have to call them and say, it's Eric Straitman's. I'm coming tomorrow. I just show up, do the little beep with the little key fob or whatever they call those things, yeah. And I'm allowed in. I'm allowed to go in whenever they go. So once you buy a membership for the next level, it's not the same once a week on the same day and time. Now, any of those days I just mentioned, again, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday early evening, you can show up as little or as often as you want, mm-hmm. which makes it great for people on shifts. I know a lot of people that came, that cop with, what's it called, Karma.
Yeah.
She's starting again because she had a hard time going to the first novice class, mm-hmm. and she missed a few. Hopefully we're going to get her fixed this round, but when she comes to the next level, it doesn't matter when she comes. You can come Tuesday this week. Next week, you can come on a Saturday. The week after that, you can come on a Wednesday. You can come 3 days in a row. You cannot show up for 2 weeks and then come for a whole week straight.
Yeah.
Because now the lessons aren't learned in chronological order. Mm-hmm. I usually teach the finish first always, but let's think of a dog. Aries. Aries is a great example. His down was really, really weak. Yeah. Not weak, he just struggled with the down. It wasn't a command, but he learned the sit really, really quick. Mm-hmm. So we taught that particular dog sit from in front way before we taught him down from in front.
Yeah.
Artemis is another example of that. But your dog, the down was solid, so I taught the down from in front first.
You can tailor it to the dog.
Yeah, you can tailor it to the dog.
What they're ready
and
for.
And the great thing about the next level is like, hey, and it's one thing when we demonstrate with Maya and Nico. They've been training for a year and a half, 2 years, both of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm running eight dogs that are all learning something, and it's all new to all eight dogs or all 12 dogs. It's a little more difficult. Now, when you're going to learn something in the next level, let's say a down from in front. I don't go, okay, here's one dog that can do it. Okay, you're the new guy. Let's watch. Everybody walk away for a down from in front. And you can see 8, 10, 12 dogs that are all doing it. And they're all at different levels of how well they know it. Mm-hmm. So it's only like almost like we got 12 examples of how to get there.
Yeah.
And it just works so well. Cause
yeah, it does.
They can actually, oh, this was a really hard one for me. And the group we has, generally, they all like each other, and it's a little bit of a family. So everybody's working together. hey, there's the big country raw guy. We're actually, you guys, you know your company sponsors this podcast. And I said, this is so real life podcast. Brandon, the driver from Big Country Raw, said, I'll be there in 15 minutes. I go, good. Yeah. He's going to be here during the podcast.
You want to join?
So he's bringing our order. So we're stocked up for Big Country Raw. So that worked out pretty well. The Big Country Raw order came during the podcast. So when, and here's the thing with the next levels. Now, and a lot of people are like, how can you teach a next level when you got 15 dogs that are here and they're all at different levels? There's you and the other Maya that are both off leash and don't even need a leash in here. There's other dogs that just started a couple weeks ago. There's other dogs like a Beam that's been here for 2 or 3 months. And then there's other dogs that are like Benson, who's almost at the advance, but he's been here about 8 months.
Yeah.
They're all different. Mm-hmm. How can I teach that? And the reason being is there's only a handful of new commands. Mm-hmm. We can probably list off the new commands right now. Give me some new commands you learn in the next level. What's the first one?
Side.
The finish.
Yeah.
Or side or by me or whatever you call it.
Sit from a down.
Well, no. That's not what I mean. I mean completely new commands. I thought you were saying the S. There's one that David Mann does teach in the novice, and I don't because I don't think it's that useful.
Stand.
Yeah, stand. That's a brand new command. Yeah. There's things like through later on. Yeah. Walking backwards later on.
Front.
Yeah, yeah. Forward. But most of the commands are really, what are they?
Well, you have your base. This is just a advanced way to do but the they're, commands.
Yes, they're more advanced and more off-leash ways to do the commands.
And see you, Adam.
Big Country Raw orders here. We're going to have to put it in the freezers later. Yes. So they're more advanced ways to do and off-leash ways to do your basic commands, which let's go over that. Let's use sit or down for an example. Mm-hmm. When we teach sit and down in the novice 8-week course, it's from the side. We don't walk away. We say stay and walk away, mm-hmm. but we don't do them from a distance. We're doing them from right beside the dog. Yeah. Then in the next level, actually, I've really cleared this up since I came over and started taking over with my other trainers. You have to come in and learn a down. Like we do, let's go with down. I know this is hard for people that are listening that don't know it. We teach the down with a hand food lure, saying down at the same time. In the next level, we take away the treat. Well, the treats should already be gone, but we're saying either just saying down or doing it with just a hand signal. And that takes a little bit to get to. So I want a dog to be able to do sit from the side with just hand.
Or just voice.
Just voice.
Yep.
Or both at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's with down and sit. So down, hand signal, down without using a hand signal, and down with just a hand signal and no voice. Mm-hmm. Once we get to that, we're going to teach the dog down, sit from a distance. Mm-hmm. And we don't start from a far distance. We start from 3, 4, 6 feet away. And again, you have to learn from 6 feet away, sit with hand and voice together.
Mm-hmm.
Then we drop off both of those. Sometimes it's just voice, sometimes it's just hand. Again, working with that particular dog's strength.
Yeah.
Is he if he's really good with the sit down signal only from the side, but not that good at the sit with just verbal, of course I'm going to do the hand signal from the front before I drop off the voice before I drop off the hand. Someone will be the other way around.
It's crazy to me that people don't understand that that's advanced and that they don't generalize and that if your dog knows sit at the side, sit from in front is a whole new beast.
You don't understand why your dog's so good at it from the side, but then when you start it from the front, they fail 50% of the time.
I argued with one person for a long time, and we kept going back and forth every time I'd see her, and she just thinks her dog is just being bad. They you have to teach that. There's a certain way to teach it. They do not
generalize that, hey, down from here is down from over there. It's the same thing. They don't generalize.
Yeah.
So then once we get really good at it's down from in front with hand and voice, we start backing away farther and farther distance. And all the commands are happening like this, the sit, the down, all of them. So now that we're doing it the whole distance of the room, then maybe we might go what's called a blind down. And what's a blind down?
When you're not looking at your dog.
When you're turned around, back to the dog, and that even takes some time to get. Yes. Some dogs that do a 60-foot down from Aries just did his first blind one.
Good job,
I think
Aries.
Last Saturday, and he, I said, "Have you ever done one?" And he's like, "No." I go, and he had this look on his face like, "I don't think he's going to do it."
Surprise.
I go, "Okay, let's try it." Turn the other way, and he went down, and he wasn't looking. And I said, "Praise, he did it!" And I could see the look on Rob's face, like he was actually surprised. But again, let's say he didn't do it. I'm just going to go back to the ones from in front for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Get a whole bunch of success, and then try it again, and eventually they get it. And then when you get to the more advanced, now what do?
We leave the room.
We leave the room and start doing it from, so you command stay to your dog here, and you actually leave the room, and you're giving the commands from the other room, mm-hmm. which is really, really cool.
Yes.
And then what I do, and I used to do it a little different, and I changed it because I think this is better, because an advanced dog can work with an intermediate dog, but an intermediate dog can't really work with an advanced dog as well, because you're almost holding back the advanced dogs. And it's actually nice. I think it's really nice for motivation for me to get a class in the next level. Remember, it's drop-in. I don't know if there's 8 people coming. I don't know if there's 15 people coming. But when I get a bunch of new intermediate dogs working with a bunch of advanced dogs, it almost motivates them. Mm-hmm. It can be a little intimidating, but it also motivates when you go, especially I find when you get a dog that sees another dog that's their breed. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure when Beam comes in here and sees the Maya and Goku, the Rottweilers work, I'm sure it gives Beam Dad a little motivation.
Yes.
Because they were there at one point. Mm-hmm. What did you tell me? You're the top dog in the school right now. What happened when you came to the next level?
I saw Maya and Zoe.
It was a handful of dogs where you were like, holy fuck.
I was so surprised. And they're in the parking lot with no leash walking towards the traffic. And I was like just staring at them in surprise. How are they doing
that? But now you're that dog for the new people. I guarantee it. People come in with a new Lecco and go, holy fuck, look at that German Shepherd Maya. How can she be so faithful? She can walk for a pee with no leash.
Yes.
And I guarantee you some of the people that are here now are going to become those dogs next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just the way exciting. It works.
I love watching it.
And part of the reason I like the next level is everybody, they don't know coming in, but everybody in there knows where you've coming from. And that's why I tell everybody, you're nervous now. You used to be a big fish in a small pond. Now you're like, I don't even belong in this fucking class. Everybody in there knows where you came from, and they kind of coach you through it. Mm-hmm. Especially when certain dogs are having a hard time with a certain command. You get an Aries that was struggling with the down. Artemis's owner, is like, man, we were fucking had a hard time with the down. Even she was great at everything, and we couldn't do the down even 2 months into this level.
Mm-hmm.
And now Artemis can do a down just as easy as me and you and any other top dog
in
the class.
That's a good thing about the family thing, too, because everyone kind of went through something, so then we have each other.
Everybody works together.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you have a dog like an Aries that struggled with it, and now Aries is down, is pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the people appreciate the struggle Rob went through to get to that point.
Yeah.
And they almost, I don't want to say they pat him on the back, but they'll congratulate him. Wow. And they'll talk to each other going, man, your dog got that was harder for my dog, and your dog got it faster than my dog. And everybody's really on board together.
Yeah.
That's what I like about the next level. That's why I think I need a certain, you know who doesn't come that often but has really made strides? Same breed as yours. Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
They don't come that often. She comes all the way from Ancaster, I think. That dog's made some strides.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the dog was worse and she's using the long, everybody was like, man, your dog hasn't shown an ounce of aggression. Your dog's getting really good, and I never see much fails yet. And that motivates you, too, when other people say how good your dog is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So again, let's talk about this. The great way this also works is because it is a drop-in class, and because I can teach on the fly, I can teach 5 different things, like to 5 different dogs. Mm-hmm. This dog's been here 8 months. They're learning something in the advanced level. This dog's only been here 3 classes. They're learning one of the new intermediate mm-hmm. levels. But the great thing is because the scheduling is so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's, you can make your own schedule. You can come in as a literal as often as you want.
Yes, yes. And then you can just work on what you've learned and your own leisure, or you can come work on it here.
And again, if you come in on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'm not teaching you three things. I taught you something Tuesday. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
But just being here on a regular basis, being here with different dogs all the time. The great thing about drop-in is, as opposed to novice, where it is an advantage having the same dogs in every... And Aries, he's gotten way better. Even when movie night cat, remember how nervous he was around other dogs?
Yeah.
Because in his novice class, he was always in the same... It was the same... 8-9 dogs. Always, he got used to them. You can come in on one Saturday and there can literally be 20 dogs here. And then come next Saturday and there's only 12, but that's only 3 of the dogs that were here last Saturday. It's a whole different 9 you never saw last week. So it's a and there's always new group guys coming in. So it's always great, because a great example of that is Ozzy. He gets really comfortable with the dogs he knows, but he gets a little bit uncomfortable with dogs that are new, which is what she needs.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Anne, with Ozzy, they're going to run into new dogs every time they go to the park. So this really helps with that. And then what would advanced be? And I've actually kind of changed advanced. Advanced, I used to... Sometimes having advanced dogs here is great for an intermediate dog, but sometimes if I get a group of intermediates and then you show up and you're the only advanced dog, it's actually a kind of boring class because I'm limited to what I can do.
Yeah.
So I do have an advanced only class, but and that's like the Thursday.
But it's like boring to us, but to them, our advanced things that we're doing, that's advanced to them.
But it, but yeah, I know, but it's almost like, I see some people, oh, you know who's like that a lot? Zoe used to be like that, especially when I stopped having the advanced only. She'd be like, oh, I'm kind of, she's kind of bored doing the basic. Well, not basic, because the basic is novice, but she's kind of bored doing the...
It becomes basic to us, though.
Yeah,
to
them, the intermediate like, stuff to her is boring.
She
wants to be challenged.
Yes.
So for the last year and a half, we went back to, I used to have it, but I didn't have enough dogs that were good enough at one point when I let the dog at the school slip away a little bit. I need a class that's only advanced. And not only...
It all changed.
And in advanced class, the rule was you can't even bring a leash in here. You're not allowed to bring leashes. And that, I thought, was pretty cool. I've kind of changed the... And, like, you're not allowed to wear a leash the whole class. Like, that has to be a class of dogs that are so off-leash reliable. We could do it outside. We could do it in Port Credit. We could do it in here. Now what's advanced become?
Naked.
I haven't run a class on Thursdays with leashes in about a month and a half. We're not allowed to have any collars. So fuck the leash. Fuck the correction collar. Fuck a flak buckle collar. And to me, that's the hardest thing you'll ever do. So it's a progression. And the year membership works really well. I get some, and let's talk about people that are listening to this that are thinking about the intermediate level. I get some people that came in, took the novice, took the intermediate. Okay, now they're good. They're not off-leash Thursday night naked dog training reliable, but they're going to be better than 98% of the dogs in their neighborhood. They're going to be able to take their dog to Port Credit in downtown.
I would say it would be more than 98% unless they came to you, but okay.
And then some people, like a good example is Hanzo.
Yeah.
He was in the next level for 2 or 3 years. He got really, really good. And he's like, Eric, you know what I mean? He didn't even say he's not going to come back. He just said, I'm not going to join the next level. He actually apologized. I'm like, why the fuck do you got to apologize? I'm not going to apologize to my gym if I think I got enough shape and I can work out at home and just maintain my body with my home equipment. I'm not going to apologize to them. You've had enough. It's okay. I don't expect you to be here forever. But Tao, I think she's literally going to come to me until that dog passes away. And probably she's going to bring the new little one. Kat, have you seen her new one?
Yeah, work? He did. So
her,
cute.
Her new one's the best dog in the novice class already. I've completely lost my microphone.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I know you can hear. Oh, there we go. I need to go to Long and McQuaid and get better stuff. I don't know if it's just the microphone or if it's this piece, I have to get a whole new headphone. If it's the piece that's joining those pieces, I have to get just new pieces. I hope it's that. So then the reason she comes is because she always wants it good, because she owns, let's give her a shout out, they own Dixie and Dundas Chiropractor Clinic, which is the greatest place to get your back adjusted, get a little work on your chiropractic on your back. But she brings her dog to work virtually every day, so she can't even let that dog slip because it's coming to work.
Yeah.
If that dog ever lost its training or it regressed a little bit. So she comes here. I can't teach her anything new. She knows everything new. Mm-hmm. It's just to be in that setting with dogs. Like, you can train a dog, but how often are you going to get in a room full of dogs that are all doing the same thing? That's mm-hmm. going to be difficult to find.
Yeah.
So it's just a great thing that you can continue as long or as little as you want. I get some people that join the next level, and they said, I really should have joined 6 months because really I was happy with the novice. I wanted a little bit more, but once I was here for 6 months, I got everything I needed. And they just stopped coming after 6 months, even though they got a year membership. Yeah. That's their prerogative. Oh,
they get so much out of it, though. If you actually do the novice training how you should, all of the way that you do it, I love it because there's a reason and a rhyme to everything, and it transfers so well to the intermediate advanced stuff.
Yeah, I think it really helped when I came in here and some of my other, no fault of their own, they were, and they want to impress people, so they were actually doing the downs from in front before the down from the side was solid. And that's just wrong. Because why do I want to do something from 30 feet away and make that great when I can't even do the down from the side, which should be the basic simple one you get to first. Yeah. Learn to crawl before you walk, walk before you run. That's just basic. Okay, anything else to add about the next levels? Anything you like about it?
I love it.
I know there's other trainers, and maybe they do that because they don't have enough. There's one in Guelph, and he has the 10-week novice, and then he's got the 10-week intermediate. We actually joined 10 weeks, and it's set schedule. Maybe he does that because he doesn't have enough clients.
Yeah, if he does a drop-in, then one person might.
Yeah, he wouldn't have enough to do a 10-week course. Mm. So, I mean, I really like the way I do it.
Yeah.
And the great thing about the way I do it, when I first started, I didn't have enough clients.
Like a club, too.
You know what I did at first? When I was in this building over here, when I just opened, I had three novice, and I started intermediate right after that. And I had at least three or four people from each three, the very first ones I ever ran. And they started coming. You know when we had it? Sunday night. That was it. Sunday night at 7.
Yeah.
That's and fair. I basically kept running Sunday night at 7. You can only do it once a week. It was still a year membership, but you can only do it once a week.
Yeah.
And then we started to get too busy. So then I went, okay, let's go Wednesday and Sunday. And that kind of thinned it out because a lot of the people said, you know what, Wednesday's a better night for me.
Yeah.
And some people would come both, and some people only went Sundays. And then they got too busy. And then I said, okay, let's go to, and I actually changed it to split it up more. I went, let's go to Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So then we had three, and now we literally got 5 days a week. And if it ever gets to the point where it's too busy I'll add another one on like a, what would I add?
You got to add Friday, Monday.
A Monday afternoon or a Friday night, whatever. Or like Dave does. You know what Dave does? You were there. What do you mean you don't know?
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. He does
two Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Where one starts at 7 and one starts at 8, but you're welcome to come to both. You're welcome to come to just 7 and leave. You're welcome to come to 8 and not come to 7. Yeah. So he just gives more time. And that I think he does that because that thins out the group too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it actually works pretty cool because imagine his, I think it's 6 to 7 and then 7 to 8. But his 6 to 7, okay, I only got 8 dogs here. I can do a little individual stuff. And then from 7 to 8, it's a little more busy so we can do the more groupy things that we do. Yes. I don't know. Pretty good. Okay, thanks for doing this. That one was supposed to be quick, and it was 43 minutes as well. Why do we do that?
I don't know. Have we ever done a short one?
I'm trying, and even my podcast guy said some of yours are too long because it's the drive home, and a basic drive home is a half hour or less. You get some that are more, some that are less, but you don't want to do a guy's drive home where he knows he's only got 25 minutes, and my podcasts are always 43, and he's going to have to listen to part two tomorrow. I don't know, whatever.
I like it.
I like 40 minutes. It's pretty good. They can suck it. You hear that, crowd? If you're listening to this and you don't like our 40-minute podcast, you can suck it. We love our customers. Yes. Okay, so we always finish with this calendar thing here, and this is I'm just flipping to this one. I don't know if this one is interesting or not because it's a really short one, but I had no idea. If you would have asked me, I wouldn't be able to guess. Here's this one. It's a very short fact that we always finish these with. There are estimated 9 million dogs on this planet right now. I'd actually guess a lot bigger.
Yeah.
9 million. So that's close to a billion. Think about that. There's 8 billion people. There's about a billion, just under a billion dogs. That's a lot, I guess, because you think out of those 8 billion people,
one in nine.
Most of them are families of four, probably on average. each family has a dog, that cuts it into almost that ratio anyway. Mm-hmm. A little bit, half of that.
I see what you're saying.
Well, you got some families are going to get two or three dogs, but most families are only going to have one. And then there's a lot of families that aren't going to have any dogs at all. So
it's like 50% kind of thing.
So there's basically one dog for every eight people on this planet. I thought it would be a little more, but that's still a lot of fucking dogs.
Yeah.
It's a billion fucking dogs. So think about this. That's three times the population of the states. There's three for every person that lives in the states. There's three dogs on this in this planet.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But then you think China.
Now do we have
China? Like there's a billion, so there's only one dog for every person in China. Okay. So that's pretty interesting, though.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for doing this. We're gonna bring your sister on here for a future podcast. Hopefully, she doesn't get nervous.
I'm gonna make her drink a shot.
Okay, thanks for doing this, Jesse. We can take our Big Country Raw order home now.
Yay!
Thanks for doing this. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Beyond the Leash podcast. We hope you learned something valuable today. For more information or to connect with Eric, check us out at beyondtheleash.ca. We'll see you next time.